Hey, everybody. Welcome to Brothers Less Grim. I am Mark. With me is Jeff.
Hi there.
And if you like reality TV, you are in the right place. On every episode of our show, we improvise one story. We do this by playing the card game Once Upon a Time. We do use our own set of house rules, and if you're interested in what those are specifically, you can check out our episode zero. This episode, a lunch lady follows her creative impulses, forever changing the cafeteria's dynamics. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Mangoes!
We got a lunch lady in an elementary school. Okay, she's cooking food for the kids, and it's all very bad. Doesn't taste very good. It's bad food. And she tells her boss, who I guess is the principal, I want to say. Who does the lunch lady report to? The superintendent? I'm going to say principal, because I feel like the principal runs the school. But I also kind of feel like the principal's more focused on students and not... All right, I'm going to say principal. Her boss is principal. I don't really know how schools work. But she asked her boss if she could cook something better for the kids. Because she's a really talented cook. And I'm considering playing other cards. Yeah, I'll probably play one more. She's a really talented cook. She wants to cook something better. And she's talking to the principal. And I'm going to make the principal blind. Just because. Just because. Principal's blind.
It's not because of a card or anything.
Meaning he can't see. But he has an excellent sense of smell. And he often uses that to figure out when students are out of line. He just, like, smells that something is amiss. And he's like, hey, Thompson, back in line. Sit down and pay attention to the assembly. And, you know, Thompson would sit down, get back in line, get ready to pay attention to the assembly. So this principal, blind, but he knows what's up, because he has such a good sense of smell. And, as kind of a corollary to that, he's like, you know what? I would be ecstatic if you could cook something that smelled better than our typical lunch food, because my sense of smell is so strong that it would be just make my day if we could get a nice smell coming from the cafeteria for us. So he tells the lunch lady, hey, come up with a menu. It needs to be less than a dollar per child. Or, $2 or $3 per child, probably, per meal, you know? So it needs to be pretty cheap. But other than that, come up with whatever you want on the menu. Over to you.
All right. The lunch, did you name her?
I did not name anybody but the kid who gets out of line. I named Thompson. That's it.
Thompson gets out of line.
Lunch lady, yeah, it doesn't have a name. The principal is blind. That's pretty much it. Like, lunch lady is talented. These are the characteristics that we have to work with. So it's pretty loose so far.
Okay. So, lunch lady, goes Michelle.
I like it.
Yeah, she is ecstatic after this meeting. She got exactly what she wanted. She is excited to express her culinary creativity. So, you know, she makes lunch the normal thing that they always make. And she is thinking the whole time, like, of different ideas. She's going to go home and start, like, coming up with everything. And then, like, that she can come up with, and then figuring out a way to make it affordable. And in the cafeteria, you know, she just got the green light, so like she's serving the regular stuff. Thompson, the troublemaker, goes by, and he threw some noisemakers into the mashed potatoes that aren't really, they're very lumpy, the mashed potatoes. They're not very good.
Not very mashed, those mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with what Michelle's doing, but
yeah, I mean, you work with what you have to work.
Exactly. But every so often, when she's like slopping some mashed potatoes onto a student's tray, a noisemaker will go off and it'll just like pop.
And slopping is such a good word choice there.
Yep. And sometimes like the kid freaks out and like drops the tray and makes a huge mess, and Thompson is trying his best not to laugh because that's his tell. He enjoys his own humor too much, and he just cannot keep his composure, and he starts cracking up when the third kid in a row has this go down. And Michelle looks at him and stares like she knows, but she can't prove it. And Thompson tries to regain his composure, and is just smirking and giggling to himself. And Michelle goes up to him, is like, "Thompson?" And he's just like, "Yes, Mrs. Wolf. Where did the noisemakers come from?" And he just cracks up and is like, I don't know. I don't know where they came from, Mrs. Wolf. I don't know. They seem really fun. I wish I knew where they came from. That way I could get some of my own, but I just don't know where they came from. So there's no way that I can tell you where they came from. I just don't know, Mrs. Thompson, or Mrs. Wolf. And she's just like, "Am I going to have to tell Principal O'Leary about this?" And he's just like, at that point, kind of goes dead in the face, because he knows that if he gets into any more trouble, he'll get an in-school suspension, which is the worst type of suspension, because then you still have to be in school. So he's just like, "No, I really don't know," he says in this tiny, tiny voice. I really don't. And she's just like, "That's what I thought." And then she goes back to work, and lunch ends, and I'll pass it to you there.
While that was happening, Principal O'Leary was in his office working on paperwork.
I smelled noisemakers.
He just like smelled that something was amiss. Just something wasn't quite right. But he's not going to go to the cafeteria. He doesn't like going to the cafeteria. It smells bad in there. So that's why Thompson really likes doing pranks in the cafeteria. He knows the principal's not going to be there. So, yeah, nothing really happens there. Principal O'Leary just has a very keen sense of smell. He smells that something was amiss. I don't know how. I don't really know what that means. He does. Okay. So, rest of the day is pretty normal. Obviously, Michelle doesn't have as much to do after lunch is over.
I just realized something.
What?
I accidentally named the lunch lady Michelle Wolf.
Yeah, who... That's
a comedian. I just said Michelle for its own sake, and then I made her last name Wolf to play a card.
How does the comedian spell her name?
I don't know, but...
Oh, no, now we can't make it clearly different. all right, well, this Michelle...
It starts with a silent J.
Yeah, it's like something different. Okay.
I'm embarrassed. That was completely an accident.
It's fine. She cleans stuff up in the cafeteria, washes trays, gets a few things ready for tomorrow, and then she's off. She goes, probably to her next job. I feel like she probably would have another little part-time job, because lunch lady isn't going to do a whole lot. So she, would be a good extra job for her. I don't know. She does some other job, and then she goes home. And this is the exciting. Maybe
I'm imagining at a grocery store, so she can maybe get a discount on ingredients.
Yeah, okay. I like that, but I think it should be like a small, like family run, like corner convenience store.
Yeah.
Corner grocery store. Probably run by like a
co-op.
So I don't really know what that means. Is that like farmers coming in and selling stuff?
It's
like kind of cooperative. Is that what that means?
Yeah. And oftentimes, we have to get a membership, I think.
Okay, I'm down for it to be like some kind of co-op. Yeah, and then her boss at the co-op is like this, like real, like straight from the 1970s style hippie. So he's pretty cool. And he gives her really nice discounts on groceries, and then he forgets that he gave her the discount, so he gives her another discount when she's checking out. That's pretty funny.
I like that.
Okay, so she gets some groceries, and she goes home. This is just for her, because she doesn't know what she wants to make just yet for the kids. But, you know, she gets a couple extra things to maybe try some things out. She always has recipes that she wants to try at home. She goes home, and she feeds her beta fish, whose name is Firefly, which is something I'd planned for, like, 20 minutes. Just like, she should have a pet. Should it be a cat? No. Dog? No. No, that's something different. Let's do a fish. What kind of fish? Goldfish? No. Beta fish? It is amazing how much time I spent thinking about this detail that we might not bring up again.
I mean, she's a caring person.
Yeah. I mean,
she would get a dog. It's just that she would feel bad leaving it home alone by itself. So, like, she got a fish.
Yeah, she got a fish, and she spent. Oh man, it's a little heartbreaking. Her first two fish died because she couldn't get the nitrogen cycle right. I mean, the first time she didn't even really know what that was. The second time she just kind of messed it up.
Then she did a lot of reading before she got the third fish.
Yeah, so. She likes the fish tank. She wishes it had more, like, natural plants in there. It's got a lot of, like, store-bought decorations and garage-style decorations, but, like, artificial stuff. So the next time she, like, builds a tank, maybe after Firefly dies, she's going to try to do some...
Firefly die?
But I don't even know what it's called. There's a word for it. Like, where you, like, grow aquascaping, I think that might be the word. Aquascaping. Or you kind of, you're doing, like, landscaping in your little fish tank, and it looks really nice. So she's thinking about doing that, but, I mean, for now, she's happy. Firefly seems happy, so it's all cool. So she feeds Firefly, starts, I don't know, chopping some veggies from the co-op and stuff, and pulls out a recipe book, makes some notes about things she wants to change, things she wants to put together. I need to watch cooking shows before I can really say, like, specifically which ingredients she's thinking about combining and all that, what she's making. You actually might know more, so then you're more into cooking than I am. So maybe you can get specific.
She's been really excited by ginger lately,
this is what we need. We need the specificity.
Which is leading her down more Asian cuisine
cycles, which is something that she definitely did not grow up with at all. Like, she was very much like American meat and potatoes growing up. But like, she's been excited in adulthood branching out on her culinary. So she's getting real into Korean right now.
Thank you. Thank you. See, that's what we need. Okay. As she's cooking, she turns on her favorite, I'm going to say reality TV show. It's called Forest Witch.
Okay.
It's exactly what it sounds like. And I'm not going to say more. It's a great show. It's called Forest Witch. That's all you need to know. You can picture exactly what it looks like. Exactly how it sounds. I feel like the more I say, the more confusing it gets.
I definitely, yeah.
I'm feel like it's confused. Gotten more confusing, even though I'm saying over and over again that it's clear what's happening.
I don't know what Forest Witch is about.
I feel like initially, when I said it, you had a decent idea of like what it might be, and now that
I kind of didn't, but I definitely don't now.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna say more. It's a great show. She likes it. I mean, it's on the background while you're cooking.
Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like, though. Yeah,
it's on season 27.
Is it the same Forest Witch, or is there a different Forest Witch?
Come on, you know. You already know.
Are they all competing for the title of Forest Witch?
Who's they? What do you mean? No, I know what you mean. Or do I? I don't know. This is it's kind of fun to be really vague about what the show is. meanwhile, Principal O'Leary is at home, and he's also watching it, but with,
like those, captions.
Yeah.
That, like describe what's happening.
Captions called. Captions for the hard of hearing. Or audio yeah, captions, I want to say.
Yeah. And just like describes like the physical things that are happening. Like there's a witch in the forest.
Yes. I wanted to say something specific but vague, and there is a witch in the forest just strikes that balance so perfectly. All right, so they're watching Forest Witch. She's cooking. She's trying out a new recipe. There's ginger involved. I think I've done plenty. Over to you.
Okay. I'm glad that you didn't go to Thompson's house, because that's the house that I wanted to visit.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even think about going there. I'm just fascinated with the smell guy.
Yeah, so he gets home, he walks his little brother home from school. I'm imagining did you say what grade he was in?
No, but it's an elementary school.
Yeah, so I'm going to say he's in the fourth grade, and he's got a brother in the first grade. And then at home, there are two younger sisters that aren't in school yet. One's about to go into kindergarten. And he gets home and he starts like laying out snacks for all of the kids. And then it's starting to get pretty late. And then his mom walks in at like a little after five. Single parent, has to work a lot. And she walks in and is like excited to see her kids, and they're all excited to see her. And it's like, oh, how are your days, everyone? And they're
like,
good.
Four kids in 4 years or something, or like four kids in like 7 years.
Yeah. And it's a single mom situation now, but that doesn't, maybe the dad died. Maybe he left unexpectedly. Maybe
he died during childbirth. That's how it happened. That's what happened.
Maybe it's four kids from four different dads. I have not specified exactly how this family got to the situation it was, but there's the one mom and four kids.
I just thought it was interesting that she was a single mom, but had so many kids that were all very young. So it's like recent. That's
they could be recent.
No, I mean, the fourth grade. It's fourth grade.
Maybe like
nine or ten or something. So it's maybe not as condensed as I initially had thought.
Yeah,
she's a few years apart.
Yeah, and her third kid is like four, because I just said that she's about to go into kindergarten,
right.
and so maybe the other one's
another
like
one that's a year or two younger than that.
Yeah. So that's about 7 years. Four kids in 7 years. And, just, for, I'm not gonna say what the dad situation is at all. I'm not gonna comment on that. But I'm just saying that, like, they make it work. She likes to refer to Thompson as the man of the house, and often praises him for being very responsible and caring, and he really does do a lot for the house there. But she does know that his history at school is a little bit of a troublemaker, because every so often she gets calls. She's like, "You staying good, Thompson?" And he's just like, "Yeah, Mom, I haven't caused any trouble lately." And then he kind of giggles at that. And she's just like, "What is it, Thompson?" And he's just like, he can't keep secrets from his mom very well. So he just says, I put some noisemakers in the mashed potatoes, and the kid dropped his tray, and it was hilarious. And she's just like, "Thompson, I love you, but we can't have you get an in-school suspension, okay?" And also, like, really, yeah, okay. Thompson's like, "Okay." And I'll pass it to you.
Michelle eats her food. She tried to make something that was... Oh, she made ginger that time. Something with ginger. I think that, like, what she should be trying to make is something that elementary school kids would not be immediately grossed out by. Something that's approachable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something that even picky eaters will look at and be like, "Oh, that's fine. I like that." So, ginger actually seems less approachable than most other ingredients.
That's true.
So she just tried that for herself. So then I'm going to say, like, a few nights go by and she's like tries out a few different recipes so that we can, and she watches, you know, a few different episodes of Forest Witch, because it's on every night. They make a lot of these shows. It's well, not every night, it's four nights a week, but, you know, that's a lot. I'll say it's like she's tried a bunch of recipes, but, like, hasn't really found anything that she's like the kids are gonna like this, because, like, she's got some things that were like, "That's really good. It's got ginger, so I feel like picky eaters wouldn't like it, because, like, that's a strong flavor that maybe elementary school students might not be about." And then she's got other things that were like, "That was really good. That was expensive," or "That wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, so I feel like I can do better. That one doesn't look all that good." You know, she's tried out a few things. Nothing's really worked. One day, I'll say on her day off, it's like she gets a call from her boss at the grocery store, and he doesn't know where he is. And he asks her, like, what year it is, and also if his car has feelings. And she's like, "Okay, I'll go in and wash the shop." Because that's his way of asking, like, "Hey, I ate too many edibles, and I need somebody else to be the cashier for today." So she goes in, and she's running the shop on her own. And she doesn't mind, it's fine. She wasn't really doing anything that day. Just kind of looking online, looking at pictures of, like, aquascaping and getting ideas and learning more about the nitrogen cycle. And researching different kinds of food for betta fish. And asking Firefly if he wants a new nickname. Firefly didn't really say anything, so she's going to keep calling him Firefly. Anyway, she goes, yes, the point is she wasn't doing a whole lot, so she goes into work. It's like, "May the Lord smash him up." She goes in, and she's stocking shelves, and then, well, yeah, she could be stocking shelves. I don't really know how a co-op works, but I feel like it's kind of close to a grocery store.
Yeah.
It's more the grocery store than farmer's market.
Yes. I've only been to, like, one co-op in Tucson, so I'm imagining that one. And I Yeah, and it was basically like just a smaller grocery store with really good ingredients.
Okay, cool. So she's like stocking shelves, and then she comes across an ingredient that she feels like might be really appropriate for younger children. It's mango. She's like, oh man, kids love mangoes. Maybe there's something I can do around a mango, or like with a mango flavor. Because like there's a farmer who like brought in a bunch of mangoes. I don't know where they are, but it's somewhere where mangoes grow.
Yep, or at least close enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like, you can finesse stuff a little bit with proper agriculture techniques, right?
Yeah, maybe he's got a fantastic greenhouse. Maybe he's real into geothermal farming.
But, I mean, I associate mangoes with like Hawaii because like that's where we were first introduced there. But I feel like
they grow in Florida too, right?
Like I feel like
it's generally tropical areas.
Yeah, so I could grow in Florida for the setting of the story.
It is our go-to state often.
Oh yeah, it happens sometimes. We go to Florida more often than I really realized that we did. Well, then, no, I still want to do Florida. I don't know
it's
why.
It's Florida. it's happening in Florida.
We do Florida way too often, don't we? Because it happens anytime there's mer people, we go to Florida. I think the dwarf story.
The dwarf story happened in Florida.
Like the dwarf ended up in Florida. The torturous jobs of heaven and hell. That guy ends up in Florida.
That guy's in Florida.
So we're back. We're back, baby. Doing what we do best. Florida stories. Stories about Florida. The people maybe who live there and the magical creatures who wash up on their shores.
I mean, this might be our first Florida story that doesn't have a magical element yet.
Oh, Leary's nose.
Oh, here we go.
I lost my strength. She was doing mango stuff, and she's in Florida. Mm-hmm. Over to you.
Okay.
So, I got distracted there for a second. Sorry, go ahead. You already know what you want to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, she starts going playing with mango. She started making this mango sauce, kind of glazy, like it's a thicker sauce, and she started putting that on some chicken, making this mango chicken type thing. And she tries it, and it's a revelation to her. She's just like, I think this is the key. And she makes another one, and she brings it to the school, and O'Leary shows it to O'Leary, and it's just like, I smelled it when you walked in. What is that? He's like walking down the stairs. Like she's not even like there
new,
yet.
Like perfume. It smells like, oh man, it smells so amazing. It's like it was designed at a lab to smell good.
No. It was designed in my kitchen to taste good. And then she like, cuts a bite. It's like, here you go, Mr. O'Leary. And he takes a bite. Like, that is fantastic. And she's like, I think I can make this for, it was like $1 a kid? Or whatever price point
we'll
you
say
said.
Two. I said one, two, and three. So we'll just average that out to $2 okay. per tray.
Perfect. And he's like, is this so? He's like, yeah. He's like, I want this. I want this in the cafeteria. And so she gets enough to serve it. And, you know, it's time. Like it takes some time, but she does. And she's just like, today's a big day. Like she's going to serve her own meal to the kids at the cafeteria. And she's excited. Meanwhile, Thompson is excited because he hasn't done a cafeteria prank in a while, And it's the one place where he feels like he can get away with it, because Principal O'Leary never goes to the cafeteria.
I love this dynamic. Yeah, like he causes trouble in the cafeteria because the food smells bad, and that's important because they're principal. It's such an intricate, stupid dynamic, and I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. And so he is excited by his plan. And he walks into the cafeteria, and he's shocked to see O'Leary. And I'll pass it to you there.
We gotta look at endings. It's already basically the end of the story.
It really is. We got to.
It, like, snuck up on us. Do you have a good ending card?
I mean, I got my usual. I can twist this into whatever I need it to be.
I got my usual, like, these cards have words on them that don't relate to the story.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go on, I think.
Okay.
And I don't know who's closer. Sounds like we're kind of all equally far away. Maybe you're slightly closer. I'm sort of expecting you to take this, but we'll see.
I can take this. I'll have to have a few things happen before I feel like the ending that I have in mind is quite... like, we're still, like, a few scenes away from mine.
All right, so Thompson goes in there. He's shocked to see O'Leary is there. Okay. O'Leary is in the line with a tray, which is a little comical in itself because the line is designed for elementary school students. So it's like a little lower than like a normal height. It's not like super low because the lunch lady used to be on the other side. But he looks out of place. he's kind of a tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's next to children. But as soon as Thompson steps into the cafeteria, like Thompson sees him across the cafeteria, O'Leary takes just like one whiff. It just instantly like spins around. Like, Thompson. Thompson like walks out of the cafeteria. Kind of like speed walking down the hall. And I guess I'll have O'Leary, forgot his name momentarily, smell his way over to a phone on the wall, and he makes a little announcement on the intercom. Thompson to the... It's either the cafeteria or his office. I'll say the cafeteria. No, I guess I'll say the office. Like Thompson to Principal O'Leary's office immediately. And he gets his tray of food to go. Or no, I'll say he's going to come back because like he wants to enjoy his food. He doesn't want to bring his food to this horrible smelling Thompson. So he like says over the intercom, Thompson to the principal's office. He goes to the principal's office. Thompson grudgingly steps into the office. O'Leary is like, you don't have them now. You got rid of them, but I smelled them on you. You were bringing stink bombs into the cafeteria. Thompson's like, no, I wasn't. He lies. He's like, you probably smelled somebody else. I was barely in the cafeteria. And O'Leary's like, I know. I smelled you. So I know what you were planning, and I just want to let you know, like, these pranks are not going to be acceptable, you know. You are a fourth grader. You need to act your age. You're almost a fifth grader, you know. It's getting towards the end of the year.
You know? I need you to be a role model for your younger siblings.
Yeah. You're the man of the house. So stink bombs, not going to fly anymore. Okay? Can you promise me that you won't do stink bombs anymore? Thompson's like, yeah, okay. Well, I promise. O'Leary's like, you lied. I smelled you. I smelled the lie.
You can't smell a lie, Mr. O'Leary. You what? No. You can't smell words and their truth.
There's anxiety coming, like wafting out of your armpits, and that is a signal for me that you are lying. Yeah, you can't deny it, because like I know my stuff, you know. I've been here 32 years. I've smelled it all. Okay, I'm telling you, smell a lie on you. So, point is, knock it off, Thompson. All right, I'm going to go eat this, like, mango chicken thing. You know, why don't you come with me? You know, well we can have a chat over mango. I didn't want to, like, bring my food back here because I was worried you would bring your stink bombs in here, and that would be, like, a clash of, like, good flavor, good smells and bad smells, and, like, that's not about that. But it's like, if we go back to the cafeteria together, we can have a little chat over some mango chicken. And, you know, we can talk things out like men. And Thompson wants to say no, but he's like a fourth grader. So like saying no to grownups is hard. So he's like, okay, over to you.
Okay. Yeah, so he eventually caves because, like, it's the pressure coming from the principal. He doesn't have it in him. He just likes his mischief. He's not gonna. So he begrudgingly accepts, and he eats lunch with the principal, and all the other kids think that he is in so much trouble, and they actually have a really pleasant chat. Thompson is very personable to adults when he wants to be. And O'Leary and Thompson actually have a really good conversation about, you know, home and, like, what's going on. They talk about Forest Witch a little bit. Thompson doesn't really get it, and O'Leary's just like, what's there not to get?
I just don't really know what the show's about.
It's about a forest witch.
Right, but, like, what does that mean?
It means it's a witch in the forest. You've seen the show, I've only heard it, and I know that it's a witch in a forest.
I've seen the show, but there's, like, a lot of voiceover and B-roll, and I don't really know what's going on.
And, like, what was previously a fantastic conversation is starting to, you know, take a turn, because O'Leary is, like, weirdly upset about Forest Witch and feeling...
Because he's been a fan since the beginning.
Yeah, exactly. And he's very little defensive about this, like, defensive about the show, and Thompson's just trying to, like, explain his view, but eventually he's rescued by the bell, and class continues, and Thompson's just like, listen, Principal O'Leary, I should really get back to class. It was actually really nice talking to you. And Principal O'Leary, like, recomposed himself. It's like, and I, you, Thompson, it's lovely to eat, enjoy this meal. I have a feeling that our lunch lady is going to be making a lot of more wonderful meals, so perhaps I'll be here more. And Thompson, like, smiles at that and then turns away, and his face just drops, because the last thing he needs is O'Leary in the cafeteria on a regular basis. But he can't deal with that right now. And I'm going to pass it to you.
So O'Leary, you know, after lunch is over, he goes into the back area where Michelle is washing trays and stuff, and he's like, Michelle, outstanding work. You know, the kids seem to really like it. I had a great talk with Thompson, and, you know, you keep making good dishes. I feel like I'm going to be able to be in here more often. There's going to be more troublemakers. And I think food, you know, talking over food is the best place to talk to them. So this is going to be really great for me as a principal. You cooking better food. Of course, it's good for the kids as well. It's probably good for the co-op, you know, because we get to support a local business from an upstanding member of our community. And just really excited about, like, what the future holds. Did you see the latest episode of Forest Witch? So good.
Of course I saw it. I love that show.
Hey, did you know that Thompson doesn't get it?
What's not to get?
I know, right? That's what I told him. We gotta get him to watch the show, like, properly. I feel like he'd really like it. I think it's right up his alley. I mean, I know I say that about everybody, but I really feel like it's right up his alley.
I mean, it's right up his alley. When I think, like, what student here would like Force Witch the most, it would be Thompson.
Same here. Thompson. All right, we gotta come up with a way to get Thompson to watch the show. All right. So they go their separate ways. You know, they get back to work. Michelle goes back to washing trays, and O'Leary goes back to doing paperwork in his office. No, you know what? He's not going to do paperwork right now. He's going to roam the school and smell his way around and make sure everything's going well. He's having a great day. He doesn't want to get back to dreary paperwork. Just wants to smell the halls. So that's what he does. And then Thompson, goes back to class and he does learning stuff and, like, shoots a spitball at a kid or something. One of his friends. No, he's not bullying anybody. It's playful. Teacher didn't see it, so he gets away with it. At the end of the day, he's got something, like, figured out. He thinks he does. He doesn't really know if it's going to work, but it's worth a try. So he writes a little note and puts it in the suggestion box. I'll say outside the principal's office. And the note says, "I really hated the food in the cafeteria today. Can you please bring back the old food? My palate appreciated the old food better." I don't know if he would say palate, but I just thought it was silly. He's basically just saying, you know, exactly that. "I didn't like the new food. Please bring back the old food." So puts that in the suggestion box, and he walks home with his brother? Yeah. He walks home with his brother. Over to you.
All right. His brother, the only thing he can talk about is how good lunch was today. It was his favorite thing ever. And his brother, and Thompson's just like, "Oh, yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?" And the little brother's just like, "Hey, listen, like, I saw you talking to Principal Thompson. Are you in trouble?" It's like, no, I'm not in trouble. He just wanted to talk about Forest Witch.
I don't get that show.
I don't get it either.
Why do we keep watching it?
Mom likes it.
Why does she like it?
I don't know. She says it's brave. She says that the Forest Witch is brave. But that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, what's brave about it?
I don't know what the word brave means. I'm a first grader.
I mean, I would say, like, brave would be, like, doing something that you know is kind of a bad idea, but doing it because, you know, like, you want to, or because it's the right thing to do, you know?
Oh, like you.
What do you mean, like me?
You're brave.
Well, thanks. Thanks, little brother. I think you're pretty brave, too.
Thanks. Still not quite sure what the word means, but...
Well, that takes away from the warm feelings I got when you said I was great.
Yeah, I could see that.
So then they go in and he starts like putting cheese on like Ritz crackers for all of his siblings.
That's so brave.
It's really not. You don't quite have your head wrapped around bravery. And like the little sister that's four is like, I was brave today. I climbed a tree even though I didn't really, I'm scared of heights.
See, that's brave.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. So, I want to, like, there's a monster under my bed, right? So, I hid under my covers. That was brave, right?
Well, not exactly. I mean, it's, if you had the option to leave the room and you chose to hide under the covers, then I guess in a way you could argue that it was brave to stay in the room, but I feel like that's not what you're saying.
I could not have left that room, Thompson. I would have gotten, but I would have been eaten by a monster if I was visible.
Okay. It also sounds like it probably wasn't a monster. It was probably like a shadow from a lamp or something. So I don't think this was brave.
I know a monster when I see one. It was all shadowy. It was from the lamp a little bit.
Why?
Wait.
I don't know. I mean, we were watching Forest Witch, so I feel like you just got nightmares from that.
Why would I get nightmares from Forest Witch? That show makes no sense. How can I get monsters? How can I be scared of something I don't understand?
People fear what they don't understand.
Really? That's disappointing of people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The mom walks in and they're all excited. It's like, Mom, you're back home. She's like, ah, oh, I'm so excited to see you all. And I'm so excited to see the new episode of Forest Witch. And,
at least she said the children one first.
Yeah. And I'm going to pass it to you.
Okay. I don't know what to do next. How close are you on endings?
I mean, we're heading to one that I don't like. It still like works. It's just that we're not there yet, and I'm trying to not rush towards it this time.
I'll figure out something to do.
Yeah,
I'll go back to Michelle because she's kind of our main character.
Yeah, she is.
Arguably our main character. So she goes home and Firefly is dead.
Oh no.
I know. I didn't know what else to do. So we gotta have something happen, some kind of plot development. So I killed the fish. Deal with it. sorry. No, that's mean. Yeah, she feels terrible. She feels like she did something wrong. Like, did she checks the nitrogen levels in the water. Everything looks like it should be fine. She goes online to try to figure out if not having enough or having too many artificial things can like cause stress for the fish. And it's not a very good theory, but she feels like she messed up. The truth is the fish, you know, had liver disease or something. And it had a disease. And it died. And it wasn't her fault. It's a bad fish. Not a bad fish, but, you know, it had bad organs or genes or whatever. So, yeah, Michelle cries. It's heartbreaking. She loved that fish. And, you know, she's... I feel like she probably doesn't have that many good social connections. Maybe she loved the fish a little too much.
Yeah.
But I mean, the next day she like gets a call from her boss who's like, hey, my aunts are under the ground.
What?
Yeah, they got a passport and they're under the ground now.
For a second, when you said her boss, I imagined Principal O'Leary.
Oh, no, no, it's the... it's the hippie.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I figured that out, but I thought that was just, like, the weirdest, like, harassment call ever.
I'm just, like, taking her story to a really dark place now. Her fish is dead, and her boss is sexually harassing her, and Thompson burned his house down. No, none of those... One of those things happened. The fish is dead. I did kill the fish. This is, yeah. This is a normal...
Okay.
Call from her hippie boss who's high, and she says, sorry, but I don't think I can come into work today, which is unusual. And yeah, she just kind of stays home that day, and she calls her dad, but her dad doesn't answer his phone, which is typical. Not good, it's typical. And she doesn't even feel like watching Forest Wish. She watches it anyway, but like she just feels like she should be doing something else. So she just watches reruns of Forest Wish all day, and she gets even sadder because she feels like Thompson really would like it. It's really up his alley.
It's really good.
So, yeah, she takes a day to herself. At the school, I guess she probably would be scheduled to go in anyway, so she is missing from the school that day. She may be probably called in. So there's like a substitute lunch lady there, and she's been given instructions on how to cook maybe the mango thing again. Or, yeah, well, I'll just say the mango thing again. And she is not as talented as Michelle. And she just doesn't care as much. So, they end up with, like, lumpy mango chicken. She just somehow makes it really lumpy. It's not that good. Over to you.
And she's just like, I'm working with what I was given. And it was just like, you were definitely not working with what you were given. You were given the finest ingredients. And, you know, O'Leary is just like, okay, well, Michelle will be back and she'll make a good meal. And then walks away, and the substitute lunch lady is offended by that. And, but he turns around and he's just like, oh, by the way, substitute lunch lady, you didn't happen to catch, any of Forest Witch yesterday. It was a special episode, Forest Witch Lost at Sea. And, the lunch lady is just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And O'Leary is just like, well, now I'm disappointed with you for two reasons. Anyway, he goes back to his office and he opens up his suggestion box, and for the first time he checks it almost at the end of every week, and for the first time ever there's a piece of paper in there, like a student has had a suggestion, and he's just like, and he sniffs it.
Yes, he does.
And he says, go back to the regular menu. He can smell so well that he can read. Is what that happened there.
It smells like Thompson's handwriting.
He folds it up. And he's just... Goes up to Thompson. And he's like, Thompson! Take a walk with me. And Thompson's just like, I gotta go to class. It's like, I'm the principal. I can give you a hall pass. Come on, go for a walk. And he's like, all right. Like, listen, Thompson. What do you not like about the lunch? And he's just like, oh, it just. I don't know what you're talking about. It's just like, I know the suggestion came from you, Thompson. Like, it's your sense all over it.
Again, I feel like you're just saying things. You're just, like, guessing. You know, when I was lying, I mean, you didn't know that I was lying. When you said I was lying and you smelled it, you smelled like armpits. And again, that's a piece of paper that you're saying smells like me. I feel like you don't know that it smells like me, but you're saying that it does. Did you, like, go to, like, the receptionist and be like, hey, whose handwriting does this look like? And then, is this some elaborate ploy to make it seem like your scent is, like, really good?
Thompson.
I'm really confused.
I could smell your lies. I can smell your handwriting. Like, don't question what it's all really, like, how it all works. Just appreciate that it's the thing that I can do. And, you know, I'm just concerned about the reason why you may not like this lunch. And he's just like, I liked it. What can I say? I liked it. Thompson, I can smell your lies even before you say them. And he's just like, well, I mean, I didn't write that. I don't know what else to say, Principal O'Leary, other than I didn't write that. And he's just like, so you would have me, you know, call up Mrs. Wolf, the lunch lady who designed this lunch, and tell her that you didn't like it and that she should just go back to the regular meal. I mean, I didn't say anything like that. I didn't do anything. And she's like, listen, Thompson, how about this? You know what? It's Friday. Take the weekend. Maybe watch some Forest Witch. It's really up your alley. And just think about it. And it made Mrs. Wolf very, very happy to make a special meal for all you kids. And, you know, if you reach the conclusion at the end of the weekend that, you know, it's still not good and that you would like to go back to the regular meal, the regular menu, you can talk to me on Monday and, you know, we'll see what we can do. But just think about how nice it was for Michelle to make that for you. And then he walks away and he's just like, that's a weird thing to put on a fourth grader. And he's just like, you should really get back to class, Thompson. You're running late. It's like, hey, you didn't give me a hall pass. Back to class, Thompson. And then Thompson goes back to the classroom. And then it's O'Leary. Like, closes the door to his office behind him. And he is laughing to himself the same way that Thompson usually does. Whenever he does a prank, he's just like, being a principal, it's the best way to mess with children. And he, like, takes off his sunglasses and then's like, I'm gonna, like, have a plot twist and reveal that he's not actually blind. He really does just mess with students.
Whoa!
And like, this is all just an elaborate prank because it tickles him to make all of the students think that he is blind, and it allows him to mess with them. And in many ways, he likes Thompson because he sees Thompson as a young version of himself. And as a result, he knows that. I guess I could end it here.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. He knows that Thompson will not take any more steps to take this away from Michelle. And I'm gonna have them go home, and His mom is home early today, and she's said that she took the afternoon off, and then, like, the younger brother was raving so much about the mango chicken that she actually went to the co-op herself and got some of the ingredients, and she made it for the kids, and it's really, really good. And, you know, Thompson is really, like, thinking about it. It's like, he could make it so the cafeteria was his domain again. Principal O'Leary is giving him that power to, like, go back to the old menu and then have the authority over the cafeteria for his mischief and pranks. But he does look at the chicken and thinks it tastes really good. And the brother loves it. And I'm going to have the mom, just because, like, call Michelle and be like, the recipe you gave me is really good. Like, the kids love it. And that actually cheers up Michelle quite a lot. And she's like, thanks. It means a lot. And yeah, I'm really excited to develop the menu and have it be really good. And Monday, Thompson goes in and says, like, no, the mango chicken was good. And the cafeteria was good. We don't have to change the menu. And so the monster was shown to have a kind heart after all.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Now that it's just us here now, none of the characters need to know. You can just tell me. What is Force Witch?
What is Force Witch?
Yeah,
like, I thought you were going to say, what is Force Witch about? So I paused there, and you're like, say about.
No, like, what is it? What is that show?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
It's not, though.
So, what I have to say on that, beyond just the obvious joke of, like, it's self-explanatory, is that my experience as a listener is really close to what I was expecting your experience to be when I was telling the story. So I said, initially, when I first said Forest Witch, it was obvious what the story was, or what that TV show was going to be, what it was about. Like, I had a feel for it. And then the more I kept saying, you get it, the less I was like, I get it. Yeah, I felt less and less like I understood what it was. So, what was your experience as a listener? Was it the same as before, where it's, you never got it?
I'm not entirely... In my brain, it is a reality TV show.
Yep. The likes forest of... witch. There's a yep. witch in the forest.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's along the lines of, like, Survivor or Alone, where, like, there's a competitive element to the reality TV show.
There was a lot of B-roll and I think voiceover.
Or if it's more along the lines of, like, you're following this individual, like, documentary, like, there is one person who is the Forest Witch, and this is just a...
Like, what, going to work?
Like,
going to the DMV?
Yeah, this is like a... What is it, like, John and Kate Plus 8-esque more show, where, like, you follow this one group of people. You're keeping up with the Forest Witches, you know?
So, I guess my gut instinct initially was that it was going to be something like Alone, at least in terms of the way it's, like, it's just people in the forest a lot.
Okay.
And it's just about a forest witch, whatever that means. I quickly discarded that and just went for the joke of, you get it.
Well, do you have any thoughts on the story besides Forest Witch, which I could talk about for the whole outro, to be honest?
I would love to hear that, but maybe I will say something. Because I do want to point out, I really loved what you were doing with Thompson's character. I feel like you gave his character more attention than I did. And sir, the moment that really sticks out to me is when he puts out snacks for his siblings. He's just he's such a sweet kid. It's very brave.
He's so brave.
He's so brave.
Yeah. Yeah, Thompson's got a lot going on in his life, and one of his few outlets seems to be pranks in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a time where he can be. That's a time where he can act his age in a world where he seems like he's not allowed to act his age. Well, not allowed, but allowed's a strong word. But where he's forced to act older than he should, for the sake of his siblings. Do you have any remorse for killing the fish?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I think it added to the story. That little low point that Michelle Wolf goes through.
That's Michelle Wolf. Yeah. Yeah, I think those three characters are all interesting. Great. I wrote this down when I first listened to it, when we were evaluating which stories were going to make the cut for season two and which were not. So on the first listen through, I wrote that, like, most of our stories feel like a screenplay, but this one feels more like a novel.
Oh, really?
I think that's because of the way that the characters are kind of the forefront here.
Huh.
In a way that they're usually not, and it's, like, more... It's, like... It's just the vibe I got. I guess it's kind of hard to describe, because we do character work elsewhere, but, like, our other Florida story of this season... Dwarf in the Sunshine State, it has a structure that I think is more stereotypically, that's a movie structure where the character leaves their original world and goes on these adventures and then has to go back to the original world and then make a choice. That's like a very, you could see that structure being a movie.
You're forgetting that Downright Uprooted is also a Florida story, Jeff.
You are correct to point that out. Yeah, that one doesn't feel like a movie to me either, I guess. Because that one's just, like, wackiness. It's just wacky improv. But this one, I don't know, I got a bit of a novel vibe. I like it.
Yeah. Do you have any more thoughts you want to share on the story, or do you want to hear about where we're going next time?
I think I am curious about what's happening next time. Do you know?
Well, I do.
Can you tell me?
I can't.
You can't?
Oh, all right, I will.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, next time, two, arguably three, friends go on a road trip.
Arguably three? What do you mean, arguably three?
I mean, definitely two.
Does he or she or they go?
Arguably.
Well, I can't wait to find out what that means.
Well, then listen next time.
Okay. Maybe I will.
I hope you do. Unless if you have any more questions, I guess I'll just go ahead and mosey.
You're going to take off?
Yeah, I'm going to get out of here.
I got to take off, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty busy. Right. So it's fine that you're taking off, because I also have a thing that I need to get to.
That's good, because I didn't want...
People
yeah.
are going to be there, so I'm going to go.
That sounds very specific and important, so you should go.
Specific and important. Oh, you got me.
Yeah, I don't want to keep you. Go on, get.
All right, well, talk to you later then.
All right, bye.
Bye.